Welcome to another G4 Guitar Teacher podcast. My name is David Hart and I am the CEO and the founder of G4 Guitar. If you'd like more information on G4 Guitar, please just visit our website at g4guitarmethod.com. That's the letter G, the numeral 4, the word guitarmethod.com, or one word. The topic for today is excuses, the kind of excuses people make when it comes to learning guitar, and even the excuses that you and I make in everyday life as far as success in our businesses. So this is going to be a combination of what excuses that students make versus and plus what excuses that you as an entrepreneur, as a teacher, make. So let's get started. Excuses are justifications for failure. I'll say that again. Excuses are justifications for failure. Now, there are, of course, some legitimate excuses. I'm not for a minute saying there aren't excuses that aren't valid. But people, as a habit, tend to use excuses to justify their failures. So let me use an example. Imagine that you're going to an appointment and you get there and you're late. You're like 10 minutes late. What do you generally say? What do most people do in those situations? Most people will say the traffic was really bad. The trains were running late. The trains were canceled. The bus was canceled. I got a flat tire. So they have all these reasons, which on the surface sound quite legitimate. But in reality, we know that there are excuses. If it was the traffic, we know roughly what the expectations are with the traffic. The traffic could delay us by anywhere from, say, half an hour up to, an hour or even longer in some cases, depending on where you are and what the traffic is like. But you can allow for that. If you've made an appointment and it's somebody else's time, then you need to respect that person's time, of course. So if you know it generally takes half an hour to get there and there could be up to half an hour of traffic on a really bad day, then allow yourself an hour and 15 minutes because that will assure that you get there early. One of the things that I will do is if I have an appointment somewhere, I will go there early and try and do something else in that area. I will look for another reason to be there. So that gives me plenty of time so I don't let the person down. But there's all these things around excuses. This is just one common example, but there are lots of other examples. And we're going to talk about it more in relationship to students. And then we're going to talk about it in relationship to you in your business. So successful people do not make excuses. If anything, they reduce their excuses to a minimum. And so they only make excuses if they really have to. And when they do make an excuse, it's believable. People know that they're genuine because it's not something they do all the time. So if you find yourself making excuses, no matter what it is, and you find yourself in this habit of making excuses, try and stop yourself. Try and pull yourself up. Now, with students, the two biggest excuses people use are generally based around time and money. And both, of course, are rarely the actual truth. For example, let's say a student claims they didn't have time to practice during the week. And let's pretend that you ask them why, and they reply by saying, I had to study for an exam this week, a major exam. I had to pass. I had no choice. Now, the question is that really the reason? And the truth is, it's because they failed to prepare. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more depth in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the other excuse, which is money. When people say, I can't afford the lessons, this is an interesting one because the price of the average guitar lesson is well within the average person's budget. So number one is most people can afford a guitar lesson. But number two, the person who's saying this to you is often someone who's already been enrolled with you. In other words, they've been doing lessons for a couple of months and then they turn around and say, look, I can't afford at the moment. We've got some bills and things are a bit tight at the moment. So I'm going to put the guitar lessons off. That shows you that they actually did have the money. And I'm not sure what would have happened in their life to cause them to be in such a situation where they need to cut back the thing that is important to them, which is learning guitar and their lessons, based on what amounts to the cost of a lunch in most sort of normal restaurants these days, less than the cost of a lunch. You have to think about it. You have to think, is this really the reason? And the truth is no. What they don't want to do is tell you the real reason. Sometimes they believe the reason. They believe it is money. They think, well, I'm in a financial situation. I need to cut back on costs. Nah, the guitar lessons aren't that important. I'll cut back there. But what they're really saying to you is that they don't value the lessons. In other words, what they're paying is not of value, because everybody gets a certain amount of money. Hopefully everybody gets a certain amount of money in our societies, and that money they have, you know, they do what they can with it as far as survival. They pay for their rent, they pay for their food, entertainment, and for most people they live pretty much within what they can afford. And if they live above their means, they're not going to be able to live there for too long. So let's take the average person who may, let's say they get $500 a week and they spend $200 on rent and, you know, $100 on food, and they're left with $200 to play with. Now, with that $200, they have a choice of things that they can do. And one of those things, obviously, at one point was choosing to do guitar. But at some point, they decide, I don't want to spend that anymore. Now, they might have got a phone bill. They might have got their credit card bill, and it gave them a little bit of a shock. So suddenly they say, well, I've got to cut back on all these expenses. So what they do is they go looking for the things that they value the least. And if they cut back your guitar lessons, what they're really saying to you is not that they can't afford it, but unfortunately, I don't value your lessons as highly as I value my week out at the restaurant, or as much as I value going on a trip or putting petrol in my car. Whatever it is that they value more than your lessons, there is a priority list. And if you're not up at the top of that list, you're going to get cut pretty quickly and pretty soon. So remember, it is an excuse. That rarely is there someone out there who can't afford your guitar lessons. It's more about the value of it. Now, I'm going to talk about what's called the recency effect. And this sort of pertains to what we were just talking about now. And it's a psychological term. And it's the phenomenon when people are asked to recall something. And what they do, or they're given a list of things, and then they're asked to recall that list. Maybe they're given a list of 15 or 20 items. It can even be less. What most people tend to do is they remember the things on the end of the list. Sometimes the first thing on the list, because that's when their memory is like, I've got to remember that one. And then they forget the next few because they're not really listening. But they tend to remember the things that are on the end of the list because they were most recent. In other words, recent events tend to sway our beliefs and occupy our kind of current thinking. And we can apply this in many areas of life. A good example is when someone gets a credit card bill, as we were talking about before. They get a bill, it's a big bill, and suddenly they freak out and go, I have to pay this bill. I have to cut back everything, including guitar lessons, to get this bill paid, because panic, panic. So they weren't thinking about this when they were out there throwing the credit card around. It was only until when they got the bill, they saw it and then they freaked out. But this is because it's a recent event. They forget the pleasure they got from actually using that credit card. And they're also not thinking about the long term. Well, if I manage my money a little bit better and I, you know, put $50 a week down on my credit card and I only take it out on special occasions and go through their credit card bill and look and plan and say, well, I'm not going to go to restaurants more than once a month, and I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to spend money over $100 unless I go away and think about it for a day. All these kind of strategies that you can use to improve your spending, they're not thinking like that. They're just thinking, wow, I've got a $5,000 credit card bill here from the last month. I'm in trouble. I need to cut back everything. If they actually thought about it, cutting back everything, cutting back the things that are important to them, is not necessarily the best strategy. In fact, most of the time they will regret it and think, I wish I had stuck with it. So we think what is most important is what's currently in our mind. And I'll use another example here of, let's say I have an exam this week, so I need to drop everything else and go and study for it, or I will fail and my life will be ruined. And this is what, you know, the example of the student a little bit earlier was saying, I have to stop my lessons, or I can't practice this week because I've got this exam coming up. The truth is that we should have thought about the exam 6 months ago, not today. But we should also be thinking about where we want to be in 5 years' time. So this is the other side of it. Sometimes we get locked into, okay, I've got an exam, I've got to pass the exam, but do you? Why do you have to pass the exam? So what if you fail the exam? Is that really going to ruin your life? Is it such a big deal? Will that really matter to you in 5 years? You could always go back and repeat the exam. You could always go back and do another semester. Maybe you need to do the whole course again. But if it's really that important to you, you'll do those things. But the reality is that when you look into the future, you look 5 years from now, it probably isn't that important. And it's certainly not worth dropping other things that may be priorities for you. So if you want to be a guitar player in 5 years' time, and a good guitar player, is it really wise to drop your guitar lessons now in favor of this exam, which may be for something that's just not as important? And I'm not saying that the exam is not important. It could quite possibly be important, but it's still not. It shouldn't be something that you drop everything else for. It should be something that you learn and say, well, I should have prepared, and therefore prepare. Don't give up the other things for this one little moment in time. Just learn from it, prepare for it, and go back. If it's a price you have to pay, then pay it. But really, if it was that important for you, you probably wouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. You would have been preparing long before for this exam. All right, I've written a list of excuses here to give you an idea of some of the things that you and other and your students might be saying, such as, I can't, my job. People will commonly use their job as an excuse for not being able to go somewhere. For instance, I have to work back, so I won't be able to go to that concert. Or I'm not sure about the party on the weekend because I've got a lot of work to get done. My job, my job, my job. So people are always using their job as an excuse. If you find yourself using your job as an excuse, stop. Don't use it as an excuse. If you like your job, then do it. If you feel trapped in your job, leave the job and go and find something else. Remember, you have a choice. You live in a free society. You decide what you do. Now, you might say, oh, I've got bills and I've got a house mortgage and I've got a family and all these kind of things, which I'll talk about in a minute. But again, don't allow those things to rule your life. It's a prison sentence. It's something where you're using these excuses, which are excuses, that prevent you from doing the things that perhaps you want to do. Or the opposite is that you're just using it as an excuse to get out of something that you don't want to do. Instead, just be honest. I don't want to do that. It's not important to me. You know, that's great. Go and have fun, guys. Go to the party. Go to the concert. But I'm not interested in that party or that concert. Be honest. And people will actually value you more, and they'll take you more seriously. And it's also good for you. So number two is I have a house mortgage. This is, a big excuse. The house mortgage I hear a lot, and it's one of those things which I do sympathize with people, and I know that you've signed up for a house mortgage and you've got 20 or 30 or longer years to pay this house off, so you feel trapped and you feel you've got to really, everything has to go into that. If you don't pay the house mortgage, you lose the house. This, again, is a choice. The house you live in is a choice. And some people say to me, yeah, but if I leave the house, I've still got to pay rent anyway. That's true. But the fact is that there are plenty of options for where you can live and how you can live. And you certainly don't want to use the idea of a house mortgage or rent as an excuse for not being able to afford life. It means that you need to be earning more. You need to be looking at things differently, which is, again, something that we talk about is to how you increase your earnings. If you can't reduce your debts anymore, then you need to increase your earnings. You have no choice. So just go out and work harder. People do it all the time. There's cases of people who land on the shores of our countries, whether it be, you know, US, UK, Australia, New Zealand, etc. We have people coming from these countries literally with nothing, and they make fortunes in our countries because they work hard, and they also are very resourceful in the way that they go about doing things, and they only spend as much as they need to while they build their income and wealth. So if they can do it, you can do it. There's no reason why not. In fact, often you've got more skills than they have. You've got more education. You speak English, etc., etc. So if they can do it, you can do it. So it's not an excuse. House mortgage is never an excuse. Number three, my kids. I've got kids. They take up all my time. I've got no time to do anything else. Again, this is a huge, huge myth and a huge, huge excuse. Your kids should not feel like a burden. They should not be a liability, and they should certainly not be an excuse for you. In fact, it's very unfair and really bad for you to use your kids as an excuse for not doing things, because then the kids start to carry guilt. They grow up with this feeling of, oh, my parents had to miss out on everything because of me. I had a mother in business. She had a very successful business, and she went from nothing. My parents divorced when I was about 7 years of age, and my mother built this multi-million dollar business from scratch within a few years, and I watched it, and it was unbelievable. And I never felt that I missed out. I didn't feel that she didn't care for us or love us. And so even though she did spend a lot of time on the business, she involved us, and we got to enjoy the rewards of the business as well, and got to learn. I got to see how she built a business from scratch, and really it was a great education for me, and I thank my mother dearly for it. So don't ever feel that you know your kids are an excuse. Bring the kids into the life that you want to live, and then you're living, make them a part of that, because they're going to be adults one day and they will appreciate the lessons. And if you don't use them as an excuse, if you live the life that you really want to live, caring for them, of course, but not using them as an excuse, then they won't carry any of that guilt. So definitely don't use your kids as an excuse for not being able to do things. Number four is my health. I'm too sick, I'm too weak, I'm too frail, I've got this, I've got that. And look, I've been there. I had really bad tendonitis at one point, and I had to stop playing guitar for a while. But I really made a serious effort not to use it as an excuse. If it was really, I was in extreme pain at some points, and I had to stop, or I couldn't do something, I would just say it was because of the pain. I can't do it. I would really love to do it, but I can't because of the pain. Now, you might think that's an excuse, but at the time, it was a legitimate excuse. I wouldn't use that excuse unless I really had to. And this is really where I define the difference between an excuse and a reason. A reason is something that's quite legitimate that says I can't do it. And now around our health, yes, there are health issues that some people have. And these are reasons, they're not excuses, and I accept that. But if you find yourself saying, oh, I wasn't feeling well this week, I had a bit of a headache, or you know, I'm just getting over the flu and it's been a bit slow to get, so I haven't done any practice. If you find yourself doing that, or you find your students doing that, and it happens a lot, then you know that they're generally excuses, or this is a person in poor health that really is struggling. And if that's the case, sometimes you might have to call it and just say, look, your health is your first priority, and maybe that's where you should be focusing on rather than worrying about learning guitar at this point in time. And I've actually said that to a student or two, and where I can see that they're constantly using the reason or the excuse, whatever you want to put it. Now, I'm not going to call them out on it. I'm not going to say, hey, you're just making an excuse, and you need to be careful not to do that, because it's not our place to tell people that, hey, you're just making an excuse. There's a difference between calling someone out, in other words, you're calling them a liar, you're lying, and not accepting it in your mind. In other words, you might use an excuse, but I'm not going to take that excuse lying down. In other words, I'm not going to just say, hey, that's okay, I understand, therefore, don't practice. I'm not going to do that. I'm just simply going to say, okay, I see your situation, I understand it must be pretty tough. Look, it's probably not the best time for you to be doing guitar right now. Your health is not the best. So how about go away and focus on your health for a while, and then come back in maybe a month or two when you're feeling better, and we'll get back to it. So I'm not buying the excuse, or I'm not buying into the excuse. I'm not saying that they're lying, and I'm not saying that it's not a legitimate reason. I'm just saying with the health issues that they've got, learning guitar is probably not going to happen at this point. Now, a lot of the time they turn around, they magically become healthy again, because they know that if they use that reason again, then I'm going to call it up and I'm going to just say, you need to take time off. So they don't want to stop guitar, and they know that I'm not just in it for the money, that I am quite serious about teaching them guitar, but I need you to practice each day and I need you to do these exercises, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the fifth and the final one here on my list is, and there are more excuses, but these five will do for now. Number five is, I lack the talent. I don't have the ability, the skill. I don't have a musical bone in my body. All these kind of things that people say. And we can apply the same for you in business. I'm not talented. I'm not a very good teacher. You know, I can't. I'm not very good at enrolling students. I seem to say the wrong thing, etc., etc. So there's, we can really build a strong case around why you don't have the skills or the talent to be able to succeed on this, and we tell ourselves these stories. But the truth is that people don't have the skills or talent when they start out anything. That's the idea. The reason that they're learning, students are learning, is to get those skills and talent that they need. Talent is not something that you're born with. Talent is something that you learn. And there's a bit of a debate there. And yes, I actually believe that a small percentage of our ability comes from our DNA, that it's encoded, and there, because there are other things encoded. But it's such a small percentage that it really makes no difference. That it's small enough difference that people often use it, and that we do see some examples every now and again of someone who has an extraordinary talent, and it seems to be natural. It seems to have come from nowhere. And can we explain it? No. It perhaps it is DNA, perhaps there's something else behind it, perhaps it's the way their brain functions. A particular part of their brain is isolated more than others, and so they really get this skill. We see this in, you know, children who have autism, for example. We've all seen Rain Man, where they have these abilities that are quite remarkable, and that's because they get locked into one kind of thing, and they almost like a loop where they're doing it again and again and again. So they get really good at it through repetition. But we can learn from that. We can see, okay, so the reason they got really good at that, the reason the Rain Man was so good with numbers, as an example, was his ability to keep crunching those numbers, to go again and again and again and again and again. So perhaps there's some clues in that. But this is very rare. And it also comes at a cost. So sometimes, or a lot, most of the time, there are other things missing in that. Perhaps they have this ability to play technically really, really well, but they don't have the feel for the music, or there's only certain kinds of pieces that they can play. So I won't go into that here, but to say that you have a lack of talent is just an excuse. Most of the best musicians in the world that you know worked very, very hard and practiced very, very hard, and we're all beginners and all totally incompetent from the beginning. So talent is not an excuse. Talent should never be used as an excuse. Talent is something that you acquire and develop through a will and a desire to want to be good at something. So in your case, if you want to be a good teacher, then you need to have that will and desire, and you need to go out and learn as much as you can from as many people as you can, and then you will develop the skills that you need to be great teachers. I hear this a lot from teachers in group teaching. Oh, I'm not a very good group teacher. You know, I don't have what it takes to be a group teacher. I'm a good private teacher, but group, no, it doesn't work. Or worse, they say, group doesn't work. You know, the students don't work well in groups. You need to be able to go one-on-one. This is because they're not seeing that it's a skill, that teaching students in a group is a skill, and a good group teacher is far better than an average private teacher. A good group teacher can take, you know, 5-10 students at one time and teach them all really well and better than a private teacher one-on-one, because they're just more skilled and they practiced more or developed their skill. So how do we get from this idea of making excuses to sort of removing that whole idea? The first thing that I say is you have to turn your shoulds into musts. When you turn a should into a must, it actually changes the whole feel of it. So if you just think about it, I must go to this appointment, opposed to I should go to this appointment. I should feels like a choice. I should go, but it's almost like the should has got a but waiting for it. I should really not eat this extra piece of chicken, fried chicken, but you know, it's only one piece, so it's very easy to add a but. I must not eat this extra piece of chicken. To put a but on the end of that sounds ridiculous, and that's why you want to start turning everything that's important to you. Don't have a should list, basically. Don't have any should. Either make it a must or forget about it altogether. Move on from it. So just focus on the things that you must do and forget about the should list. It'll probably be a shorter list, and you may not achieve all the goals that you hoped, but what you will do is you'll start achieving some goals, and you'll achieve probably the most important goals. So that's okay. Now, This is a big one. Stop making excuses and stop accepting excuses. They are, in fact, one and the same. When you stop making excuses, you will be in a much better position to expect the same from others. But when you stop accepting excuses, you will find you also stop making them. So it's kind of both sides. In other words, that if we stop making the excuses, then we automatically start to stop accepting excuses from other people. So as a guitar teacher, if you don't make excuses for your own practice, for your own life, for the things that you go through, then you're not going to accept it too easily from your students. You're going to kind of smile and maybe nod a little bit when your student says, oh, I didn't have time to practice. You're going to go, okay, yep, all right. So let's have a look at your schedule. Let's see why you didn't have time to practice. And I don't turn to a person and say, you're a liar. What I do is I look at their schedule. I say, let's have a look at it. You want them to work it out, but you want to take them through the steps of how to work it out. And the steps are simply have a look at their schedule, get them to go through what they did each day, and then look for, did you watch some TV? Did you check on your Facebook? What did you do? Is there anywhere in here we can squeeze it in? They go, I've got a couple of favorite shows I like to watch each night. And yeah, I do spend a couple of hours watching TV, I guess. So then I come back with the question, what are you prepared to give up? And then they simply say, well, I'll have to give up, my favorite soap opera, or I'll have to give up this comedy. Whatever it is, they realize that something has to go. And they realize it on their own without me having to say, hey, you're a liar, because they're not really lying. They just feel that they didn't have time because they haven't really analyzed their time. And by you analyzing it with them, then you help them to do it. So even though you're not accepting excuses, you're not accusing people of lying. That it's very important that you don't do that, that you're just not accepting it. You're not just saying, oh, okay. Because the worst thing to do is when a student says, oh, I've been really busy this week, I didn't have time to practice. And you go, oh, yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, I've had a busy week too. No worries. Let's have a look at what you've got anyway. That's the worst thing you can do, because you're agreeing with them. You're saying, I'm the same. I also have problems with keeping up with my time. That's not helping them. You're just playing their game. What you got to do is go, okay, all right, well, let's have a look at your schedule. Anyway, I hope you get that. If you want to be a great teacher, excuses really need to become a thing of the past. And that's what the difference between great coaches, teachers, and anybody successful is, and the rest of the population. If you want to be successful, you need to stop with the excuses. Simple as that. And if you want to help people to become successful, you've got to help them to stop with the excuses. And that's really what a great coach is. It's no more complicated than that. Now, although it sounds simple, let's not confuse simple with easy. Easy is a whole different ball game. It's simple, but easy, it means getting them really to acknowledge this and to get them into this headspace. So what I want to do here is I want to leave you with an exercise and a thought experiment. So the exercise is this. Spend a week writing down all the excuses that people you know around you make. Now go through that list and find a reason to dismiss as many of those excuses as possible. And you can even try and prompt them to make excuses. Ask them, someone who perhaps wants to lose some weight, all right, and they've been talking about doing some exercise. Just say to them, hey, how about we go walking every morning this week? Do you want to meet me at 6 o'clock and we'll go for a walk? And just watch and see what they do, and see if they go, oh, it's a bit early for me, I got this and I got that. Look at the excuses and write those down, and then ask yourself, are they legitimate excuses? Are they totally incapable of getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning? Is it really that bad? Do they really want to lose weight? Is it a should? Is it a must? Etc. So you do that for a week and you watch how many excuses people have, and look for the excuses they're making around their life, and then look at their life. Look at what they've got based on the excuses they make, because our life is really the result of the excuses that we make. You keep making the same excuses, you'll keep getting the same results. Now, here's the thought experiment. This one should hopefully get you thinking, and might be one that I'm not. By the way, this thought experiment is not about me saying what's right or wrong. I'm not even giving you what you should do. I'm just telling you this, just presenting this as a thought experiment so you can think about it. So what would you think about this excuse? Let's say a student comes in, they haven't done any practice, and they say to you, Oh, look, my grandmother died this week and my family have been devastated and we've all been mourning her death. So I was totally unable to practice as it would have been disrespectful, I feel. So very sorry about that, yeah, but next week I should be able to start to get back into the practice. But yeah, we are in mourning at the moment. All right, so this is a tough one to dispute. And again, you never say to someone, hey, that's just an excuse. Did your grandmother really die? Of course you wouldn't say that. Even if it was a complete lie and you knew it, you knew their family and you knew the grandmother didn't die, you still wouldn't call them out on it because it's just not your place to. That's what they've come up with and that's fine. But here's the thing. Let's say it is true. Let's say they have had this death in the family and it's a close relative and the family's in mourning. Right. I want to give you something else to think about. So, what if this particular guitar student or guitarist had been working on the guitar for 10 years? They'd been with you as a student. You'd been coaching them, training them, and they were really they were a singer. Let's say they really wanted a career as a singer songwriter, and they'd been working really hard at getting this point. They'd been knocking on lots of doors, doing record demos, all sorts of things. And what if they had then been asked to perform as a backup for their favorite singer? It was a huge concert, and they got to do the support act with this particular artist, or even a duet with this artist on national TV with 50 million people who were going to see it. And they really had to prepare. And this was the big moment, the moment they'd been waiting for in their whole career. Everything that they'd been doing had come to this moment. And they only had a week to prepare. They'd been told on the Monday that come Saturday night, they would be on TV live and they'd have to perform a couple of songs that they hadn't even learnt. What do you think they would have done despite the situation with the grandmother and the family mourning? So I'm going to leave you to ponder that thought. What do you think they would have done in that situation? And hopefully that will give you some idea of, this is an extreme example, of course, but it will give you some idea of how excuses, even those extreme excuses, could possibly just still be an excuse. Okay, so what I want to sort of say just to wrap up here is that excuses really will determine your future outcome. In your business, if you're not out there doing the marketing every day, if you're not putting in the time and the effort to make it happen, if you're not analyzing the way your teaching and looking at improving your teaching, if you're not getting involved with your peers, you know, when we talk about G4 Guitar, we have a group, and if you're not there posting questions, posting comments, getting into the conversation, if you're just hanging in the background and coasting along, then you can't expect anything much to happen. And if you're using the excuse, which I've heard more often than I care to mention, that you don't have the time, then this is something that you need to address. You need to seriously address. If time is really the big one, I find, for most people. And we all have the same amount of time. It's a level playing field, no matter who you are. So if time is the excuse that you're using, this is the one I want you to most work on. Work on not making the excuse of time. If there's anything you can take away from this podcast, and I'm going to end it now in 30 seconds, it's simply don't use time as an excuse. Always look for ways to leverage and improve your time. If you don't know how, ask people how. Ask questions, read books on time management, do whatever you need to do to find out how you can make the most more of your time. Don't just use an excuse. There is no excuse that there is not a solution for. You just got to go looking for it. Thanks for your time. And again, my name is David Hart from G4 Guitar. If you want to find out more about G4 Guitar, again, go to our website, g4guitarmethod.com, and I'll be with you at the next podcast. Bye-bye.